Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of grace which you bestowed upon us, and give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church. For this kingdom and the next one to come, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our gracious Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Do you know what it's like to feel forgotten, forsaken? Do you know what it's like to be passed by? Have you ever been in an office position with your employees where all of them went to lunch and left you out? And then someone comes back by and they said, "Oh, you know what? I forgot about you. I would have asked you out to lunch had I remembered." That helps out a lot, doesn't it? Or do you know what it's like to be fired from a job where you've invested a lot of your time? To be released from a job where you've invested a large portion of your life? Or do you know what it's like to be passed by on a promotion, on a scholarship, on some type of celebration which should have been yours? Or to not be invited to a wedding or a funeral or some great celebration of life? Do you know what that feels like? To be forgotten and to be passed by. It's a terrible feeling to be passed by, isn't it? The Good Samaritan is one of the most beloved texts in the entire Bible. And yet it's a tremendous challenge to every one of us. Because within this parable, Jesus calls us to break the boundaries of love for mercy and for the love of one another. And yet, he also tells us to break the social codes which are within our culture that have us so bound, to break those social barriers in the culture in which we live. Jesus begins this text by saying, "Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher," or actually the scripture tells us, "Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responds, "What is written in the law?" And he answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself." Notice the connection that Jesus makes here. That somehow, if we're loving God, we'll be able to know that by how we treat one another. That somehow loving God means loving one another. One of the most amazing things that I've found in just about every congregation in which I've served is that there are hurt feelings on Sunday. That someone sitting in the pews or in the congregation is hurting because of mistreatment of another person, or a perceived or a real imagined or potential mistreatment of someone else. That is, that there are people who are angry with one another sitting in the pews. This person mistreated me. This person mistreated me. And I'm angry. And Jesus tells us right here within this scripture that we cannot be mad at one another and show the fullness of God's love. That somehow we cannot have unforgiving hearts, we cannot have ill-compassioned hearts, and fully expose the love of God with the way that we treat one another. And then the scripture goes on, but wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus goes into this beautiful worded discourse, which we have come to know as the Good Samaritan. "A man was going down from Jerusalem, from Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him and beat him and left him half dead. And the priest happened to be there, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." So a man's beaten up, he's lying there in the streets almost dead, and a priest comes by and he goes on to the other side. Now, one of the things that we don't see here is the idea of blood defilement within the Jewish purity laws. Blood defilement was big in the Jewish purity laws, and that is, you don't mess with blood. And so if there was blood all over this man, this priest might have seen that as a blood defilement and thought, cleanliness is right next to godliness, and walked to the other side. Now, as much as we love to probably vilify this priest for doing that, we could look at the scripture and say, well, why didn't he help him? At some point, folks, you and I will emulate this same behavior. We will emulate this same behavior. I don't know about you all, but ever since debit cards became available, my wife and I carry little money in our pockets. Do you do that? You just use your debit card for everything? Well, there's a man on almost every intersection, or a family, or a woman in this nation that stands beside either Interstate 8 or another interstate that holds a sign. Homeless, will work for food. Homeless, please help. It may be a veteran, it may be a man, it may be a woman, it may be a family. But the point is clear. I need your help. Well, I can tell you right now, if I have my debit card in my pocket, but don't have cash in my pocket, I will often avert my eyes when I come up to this person. My message to that person is clear. I will not be a good Samaritan today. I am like this Jewish priest who just walked by. And at some point, I think every one of us do that. If we don't want to help, we simply avert our eyes. Jesus does not lift up this priest in honor. He does not lift up the Levite who did the very same thing. He lifts up a perceived outcast in the story. It was a good Samaritan who was honored. If we want to know a corollary to this scripture, think about this, folks. Who are some of the populations that are not socially accepted fully within the U.S.? Could we replace the Samaritan with the LGBTQI community? Could we replace the Samaritan with those who are seeking asylum or refugee or minorities or the physically and mentally and emotionally handicapped, or the elderly in a community, or a disabled veteran, or someone with PTSD, or someone with AIDS? Because, folks, at some point, if we hold any community which is marginalized in high regard, at some point, someone will be offended. I think Jesus was challenging the social conventions of his day. Samaria was in Jerusalem. It was a part of the, it was actually above Jerusalem. It was in the northern kingdom. It was known for its cultic and pagan practices of religion. It was the home of Ahab and Jezebel, the king and queen that wanted to kill Elijah. And they were also opposed to any types of religion of a monolithic God. So they would be opposed to Yahweh. King Jehu destroyed the temple of Baal in Samaria, and Amos speaks out against it in his prophetic writing. This is a person, a man, this good Samaritan who's from a different place, who thinks differently, whose culture is different, whose traditions are different. And he is the one who's being honored in this story. Many of us living in the U.S. like to speak and be in conversation with our people. Do you know what I mean? If we're Republicans, we like to speak to Republicans about politics. If we're Democrats, we like to speak to Democrats about politics. We like the church to grow with people like us. We like people who think the way that we do in our Bible studies. Many of us like to do things with our people. We like to live next door to people who are like us. And if people are not like us, sometimes we can even become threatened. And I think that in the society that we live in today, it's becoming even more so. And we can't even have conversations to agree to disagree. Because the thought is, if you don't think like I do, you're not one of my people. The Good Samaritan was not like the lawyer. He was not like the Levite. He wasn't even like Jesus. He was different. And he bandaged the man's wounds, and he placed the man on the animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And he left money with the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whenever I come back, I will repay you for whatever you spend." And then Jesus asked this very pointed question to you and to me. "Which one of these do you think was the neighbor of the man?" And the lawyers responded, "The one who had mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." I'm very grateful of Marisol giving the children's moments this morning, because she said exactly what I wanted to say. Jesus redefines who our neighbors are. They may not be people who look like us. They may not be people who act like us. Our neighbors are anyone who need mercy. Our neighbors are anyone who needs compassion. Our neighbors are anyone who needs our help. Jesus calls us to show mercy to the marginalized. Those are the people whom we would call our neighbors. The question always is, and it's the question that I struggle with when I come up on the interstate, will we bypass our neighbors? Will we bypass our neighbors? Will we conform to those social barriers which restrict us from showing love and mercy and courage? Will we conform to just wanting to show mercy and compassion to our people? Will we put those walls up mental and emotional walls, to those who feel lonely and isolated? Will we bypass our neighbors? The church is called, folks, to offer mercy and courage and love to those who need it. And we should respond. Jesus tells us after this parable, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Show love to the marginalized in the community. Go and do likewise. Break the social barriers of race and national origin, of culture, and replace them with inclusivity and love and kindness and empathy. Bring a message of love to everyone, that God loves everyone regardless. Bring a message of compassion to everyone, that God's grace is open and available. Go and do likewise. Bring a message that we're all part of God's creation and everyone is born in God's image. Go and do likewise. Offer your mercy and your love to those who need help, to those who need compassion, and to those who need empathy. We are surrounded by people within this church and beyond these four walls who need our help. Let us not bypass our neighbors. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you have called us to this place. You have offered each and every one of us a life of compassion and mercy. You have called us through this parable to defend the weak, the marginalized, but most of all, to serve and show our love and compassion. Allow us, Lord, as we are leaving this church this afternoon and going into the mission field, to show that same kind of courage and compassion and mercy to people always and everywhere. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.